My name is Frank Weltner, and I am the librarian of GeeWatch, and I am here to welcome you to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner, and I am the librarian for GeeWatch. And you're listening to The World Today, my regular compendium of news and analysis concerning the Jewish hegemony over the world in which you live. There are people in this world, very powerful people, who would rather that I not broadcast on the internet or anywhere else, who would rather that you not listen to this broadcast, because there are things in this broadcast that they do not wish you to know about. That is, of course, absurd and ridiculous, since if a man does something, it deserves to be reported. And in any case, all that I discuss in this radio program, for the most part, are the true facts of Jewish history and the news stories that are published by the Jews themselves on a daily basis. I glean this information and bring it into a central repository or archive, where you can find things that normally might fall off of the internet. So it's a very important thing for you to come to GeeWatch on a regular basis to find out what your Jewish friends have planned for you. After all, they are ensconced in the White House, in the Congress, in the Judiciary Committee that has packed our courts with Zionist judges, and they are making decisions that affect you and me, our future and our family. And in fact, many of the decisions that the Zionists have made in order to help themselves have hurt you and me. These decisions that they make do not occur in a vacuum, and they affect 300 million people here in the United States. In fact, I just saw a news story that sometime in a few months we're going to have our 300 millionth American born here in the United States. And back in 1967, there were only 200 million of us, and we had a sustainable culture and a sustainable environmental level here. But in 1965, some very powerful Jews by the name of Emanuel Seller and Jacob Javits, and some liberals who would pander to them no matter what, like Edward Kennedy and Hubert Humphrey and Lyndon Baines Johnson, decided that having a European America was a nasty, evil, and devilish thing to have. That we did not deserve to have our own country, but that we should give it away to other races and religions because this tiny percentile of Americans, the Zionists, said that we ought to. And these unwise people who are easily bribed, easily persuaded, passed this law. And I remember watching it being signed, and I remember Edward Kennedy saying that, well, some people say that this is going to change the racial makeup of America, but it's not. But if it starts to do that, the Congress will meet again, and we will simply unpass this law. Well, it did upset the racial balance of the country. It did change the racial balance. It did promote genocide for the Europeans here in America. But no, the Congress has not made any indication it's going to stop this particular immigration law. Instead, we trudge ahead, allowing non-European people to come into our country to put pressure upon our utilities costs, our gasoline, our oil, our natural gas, our electricity. Because all of these people are purchasing these things and competing with the Aboriginal native Europeans who have lived here for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we are the Aborigines of this country. And we are being treated as though we are the colonial slaves of the Zionist people of this world. You have to understand the Jewish Talmud, which is their sacred Bible, in order to understand the depth of their hatred for Gentiles. In their Talmud, they learn that you should be truthful and honest and above board with all of your Jewish tribal members, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing. Then it goes on to say that if you're dealing with someone who is a Gentile, you don't have to be honest with them. You can steal from them. You can hurt them. You can slander them. You can do whatever you want. In fact, it says that you are enjoined to use deceit in order to have your way with them. Yes, you're ordered to be lying and deceitful. And I think that we can say from what's happened in America and Europe, among the Europeans and the Jews who live within our midst, that they have been extremely deceitful, that they have followed their Talmud to the letter of the law. And if I were Jewish, I would say this is a good thing because we have been able to achieve a dominance in American and European society. And if I were a Jew, if I were a member of that small tribe of people who are only around 2% of America, and I saw how I could be the tail wagging the dog of the huge European empire here, and how I could bring it low, and I could prove that I could bring it low by messing with its immigration standards, and thereby change its people into a non-European set of interbred, miscegenated non-Europeans. And I could look upon them for hundreds of years and chuckle to myself how they allowed me to do this to them. This would make me feel good. It would make me feel powerful. It would make me feel that I had brought about the control that the Talmud says that I must do. So when you ask yourself, why do the Jewish people do this to countries like the United States when they know full well that these people they're bringing in here may not be good to them? They do it because of the Talmud. And they have no respect for you or me. In fact, it's to the point where they have to promote organizations that are deceitful, like the Anti-Defamation League and the ACLU. And they bought up all of the newspapers and news studios around the country, as well as all of the entertainment properties, so that everything that you and I, as Europeans here, comes through the Jewish lens, which is what the Jew wishes you to see, is only that which they see. And what they see is a European who is evil and vile and not worthy of discussion. In fact, the Talmud calls you a piece of property. It calls you a cattle, an animal, a beast. You're the beast of the field to be worked by the Jew, by the Zionist. And this is how they're able to start communism and take over Russia, kill the Tsar and his innocent children. And I think the Tsar himself was fairly innocent, no matter what the Jews have said about him. Innocent, certainly, by comparison to Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky, all of whom were Jewish. They try to say that Lenin wasn't Jewish, but as I have always told you, he grew up in a Yiddish household, and that sounds pretty darn Jewish to me. Trotsky obviously was Jewish. His name was Bronstein. And Stalin's parents named him Dushvegli, which means little Jewison. And he married three Jewish ladies. The Jews don't like you. The Jews will never like you because you are not Jewish. You are the beast of the field in the Bible, the Torah, and you are the beast of the field in the Talmud, known as Goy. If a Jewish nomad looks out at his goats or his sheep, he turns to his family and says, "We seem to have a nice flock of Goy, cattle." That's what you are. You're cattle to the Jew. So when you see these things happening, like the open border at Mexico, where tens of millions of Mexicans simply walk across, and when they're arrested, they're released on the street, you see the Jew. That is the Jew doing that. The Jew who has packed the courts with Jews, who have made decisions which have become law, because all past decisions in our legal system begin to take precedent over all other decisions that come later on. This is known as stare decisis, the acceptance of past decisions, which then have the force and weight of law. And through this stare decisis, this Jewish way of doing things, where Jews make the decision which even the Gentiles later follow in a packed Jewish court, decisions are made more and more which are detrimental to the Europeans of the United States of America, which has become nothing more than a Jewish annex or an Israeli annex for the Zionists and the anti-Gentile haters of this world who have sought their hegemony by controlling the currencies of all nations of this world and who have the power as internationalists to destroy any nation's currency, and they have done so. One of the great currency destroyers of our time has been George Soros, who is a vicious Zionist Jew who has given a lot of money to Zionism, a lot of money to the Democratic Party. He's given money to the left-wingers in the new Russian nation. He bribes people. When you have billions and billions of dollars, if you give $15 million here or $100 million there, you begin to develop friends who, in order to continue to get that money, will sell their mother to the devil if necessary. Oh, they realize they're doing wrong. They realize they're taking money from a very dark figure in present world history, and that there are things that go along with the money. It's called agreements, strings, corruption, bribery. But they don't care because they have their agenda, and if it matches the agenda of the devil, they could care less. And so these Jews have had their way with our representatives and our presidents, and they've had their way with our religions. Christianity is no longer Christianity. It is now officially Judeo-Christianity, and next year it will be Zionist Christianity. Christians no longer see Christ as coming for them. They now see Christ as coming for the Jews, and more specifically, the Jews and Zionists who live in and around the city of Jerusalem. And so they place upon their Jewish master race this religious ephemera, this religious ghost-like mythological being that radiates with light and power. And in their religious hearts, as they sing praise to Jesus, many of them are also praying for the development of a strong Israel, which is attacked in their Armageddon by Russia and China, and possibly even the United States. Depends on the religion as to what they exactly say. But there is to be this all-consuming Armageddon, which is almost nuclear, with creatures that look like tanks, like metallic horses, breathing fire from their nostrils. And out of the fire comes death. Perfect description of a tank with a flamethrower. And these Zionist Judeo-Christians who have this warped religion, which is basically controlled by Jews. And one of the reasons it's controlled by Jews is that the very cable company that brings them the 700 Club, TBN, and all these other religious networks is owned by Jews. And the Jews have made it very well known to these people that if you want to be on our network and make money using our audience, note that, using our audience, because when you buy a cable company, when you buy a network, you are buying people. You are buying their souls, you are buying their eyes, their ears, and you are buying the right to propagandize them. These Jews who own these cable companies say, if you want your network on our space, you're going to have to be pro-Israel, pro-Jewish. We are not going to allow you to be here and be what we call anti-Semitic. And yes, we are the ones who will decide who is anti-Semitic and who is not. You won't, we will. We will decide who hates in the world. We will decide everything that you see, hear, or think. And if you want to practice Christianity without mentioning that the Jews are the ones that Jesus will come back for, then we don't want you on our network. This is the insidiousness of the present situation. And you would never think that it would happen. You would think that Europeans are smart enough not to allow that to happen, and that Christianity would be very protective of its dogma. But even the Pope sometimes, when he has gatherings of a large number of people, opens the situation with a prayer from a rabbi. I remember when Pope John Paul II came to St. Louis. He went to the Basilica of St. Louis, which at the time was not a basilica, but he made it a basilica. The ceremony was opened by a Jewish rabbi giving a prayer. I thought, how anti-Gentile for that to take place. The Pope himself is genetically, most likely Jewish, by the way. It's a well-kept secret. Although when he was first elevated to Pope, the Catholics were fairly open about the fact that he had Jewish relatives, and they thought it was a wonderful thing. His friends were Jewish. His best friend's name was Kluger, and Kluger remained his best friend, and Kluger helped him to find his way to recognizing the terror state of Israel, which has killed hundreds of thousands of people and has caused tremendous worldwide distress. And the Pope of Peace recognized it, this terrorist nation, and gave it papal recognition and recognition by the Vatican, which is itself a religious state, recognizing Israel, which is an atheist state that hides behind religion. This is the power of the Jew, to penetrate and to control. Yeah, you might say, well, how do I know that the Pope is Jewish? Well, I outed the Pope as most likely Jewish several years ago. And if you go to Jewwatch, you will find the information there. Just search on the first page for Pope Paul, and you'll find the information. But to put it succinctly, his mother's name was Emily Katz, and she was from a Jewish family in a town that was extremely Jewish. She had a Christian heritage, too. She was a member of a Converso family. And it said that the Pope was persecuted by the Germans when they entered Poland because he was studying to be a Catholic priest. But that's totally untrue, because he didn't begin studying to be a Catholic priest until 1944. He had to work in a quarry because he was Jewish. And Jews were subversives in the German view of things, because they were constantly doing things like blowing up trains, setting bombs. These were the Bolsheviks. These were the pro-Soviet Union people. These were the communists, the Marxists, the atheists, the anti-nationalists. And the Germans were nationalists, and the communists, communists were started by Jews, were the internationalists. Why would you want to have a country where a Jew, who is an internationalist by nature and by Talmud, would come and live with you and then subvert your people to say, oh, well, your nation isn't really a nation. You're a part of the world. And we who are a small, tiny minority with banking interests who can destroy your economy, who can bastardize your currency and bastardize your people through our media, whereby we show your women who are white that they should dance with, marry, and miscegenate with African Americans, and ruin your genetic heritage and mangle your DNA forever, which is the unforgivable sin of nature, to destroy a race, a tribe, a species. We have laws against the destruction of species. If you try to build a building and it endangers a species, you can't build that building. If you have a farm in wetlands where you have geese and ducks coming down to feed, it's a wetland, and you can't till it anymore. Government's not going to pay you not to till it. You may have paid for the land when it was tillable, but the new law says you can't till it, and so you have to go bankrupt instead or go to jail. Well, it's okay, though, to kill out a tribe of people. It's okay to kill out the Europeans by bringing Africans, Mexicans, who are already miscegenated, and all sorts of people in here, including Russian Jews, many of whom are mafia. And most of the people brought in here as immigrants don't even work. They become subjects of the welfare system. And I think in my mind many times that when you bribe somebody not to work, you're bribing them to corrupt themselves and to ruin their lives so that they do absolutely nothing to help others. In America, they sit in front of a television set, which is a Jew tube, and watch what the Jewish lens has in store for them. And the blacks love to watch television because the Jews who own it have made sure that they pander to them and tell them how wonderful they are. If they're a welfare mother, they're wonderful. Whatever they do, they're just wonderful. And whatever white people do, they're bad. So that you get the All in the Family type show, where the father and all the people in the show are bumbling fools. This is a Jewish mantra that is repeated over and over again as the writer or the cantor sings for you of your disrespect, the disrespect that they have for you. And so as you're entertained, you are spit upon by the Jew. And the Jews say, well, Frank, you're anti-Semitic for pointing this out. And I say, you're anti-Gentile for doing this, for committing these acts of treason against a far larger majority of people when you're only 2%. And who the hell are you? Who are you to think that you can do this to a larger mass of people who have tolerated you and allowed you to come into their country, and then you have turned around and been intolerant toward them, and have even attempted to destroy them genetically, mixing their DNA with other non-European peoples so that their children's features and colors are distorted and are a mockery of what they should be and what they were and what they would have always been if you had not been allowed to come into this country to rape it, to gain control of its currency, to bribe its lawmakers, and to put the screws on these Europeans. You say that we're evil, but you are the evil people of this world. You are the controllers. We have been evil people in the past. We have been colonialists. We have gone out, and we've taken over other people's lands, and pretended that it was our due to do this because we were Christians and we were better than they were. Now, for someone from England or France, this was a very mature idea at the time, because they really weren't aware that much of other cultures, and they saw them as enemies. And, of course, in many ways, they were right. They were enemies. Because when they were brought into France, what did the Muslims do? They began to politically agitate. They didn't work. 60% of Muslims are unemployed. They're on drugs. They have gangs. There's the Muslim mafia running throughout France. And at the first sign of some silly incident, like two Muslim boys running from police, decide to hug a live electric line, which electrocutes them. They then rioted in France for weeks, burning cars and refusing to act as a patriotic Frenchman. And yet the Frenchmen, who are pretty gullible, continue to insist that these Muslims, who have nothing but evil in their heart for the French and who want to turn the country into a Muslim bastion to enslave the French and to colonialize them. And they will colonialize them if they stay, because the Muslims have a higher reproduction rate. And so what the French are doing is promoting genocide against their own people. And they're also doing what the Jews told them to do. The Rothschilds, who own the banks in France. And France has had a lot of economic trouble, so they relied on these banks and they had to borrow. And when you borrow, it's like being a Christian and having to be on cable television if you want to have a large national business where you get millions of donations and you can have six-figure incomes for yourself. You have to give something up. And in this case, you had to give up France. And the Jews didn't care about France. They cared about your money. They cared about you carrying them on your backs, being their beasts of burden, which you find in their Talmud. And I would like to suggest that many of you look up the Talmud and the anti-Gentile references in the Talmud. Just go to Google and say anti, type in anti-Gentile Talmud. And you will get many, many sites that have quotations from the Talmud, including the page number, the book number, the letter number that researchers use who study the Talmud. And you'll find a lot of really crazy stuff too. You will not believe how insane some of the lines are in their hatred for you. Lines that are kind of almost mistranslated, like, okay, kill Gentile. What's that? Can you make something nice out of that? Okay, kill Gentile. Not okay, kill Jew. Can you make something non-racist about that? But you see, I'm the one that's blamed for being an anti-Semite for telling you what the Jews believe and what they read in their Talmud. Oh, they'll lie and say it's not in the Talmud, but go to your library, get a Talmud translation, and look up the lines that you find on the internet and see if they're not true. And you will find that they are true. No one is going to quote books and lines and do it in an untruthful way, because once they give you the book and the line, they know that you can go to the library and look it up. And if you can't find it in an American library, go to a Jewish library. Most of these Jewish libraries are wide open. There's usually a Jewish community association. They get federal money for different programs, so they have to let you in. And they do. And they're very nice to you. Just don't tell them what you're looking for. Just say, oh, do you have a Talmud? I'd like to look up some lines in it, one in English. And they'll show it to you. It's sometimes a huge compendium of books. And then you can, if you can't find the index, the librarian will actually help you to find the book and the page to verify what you've read on the internet. And I suggest that you do that. I suggest you go to one of these libraries. And while you're there, I suggest that you browse through the periodical index for the Jewish Forward and look up mafia, gangster, communist. Look up immigration and you'll find that the Jewish organizations invariably want to increase immigration to all European states. You don't find them wanting to increase immigration into Nigeria. or into Mexico. No, only into these European countries, because they hate Europeans. There's almost a genetic or natural hatred that they have for us. And this shows the foolishness of us allowing this subversive group of people to control our media and our entertainment, our news, our banking, our unions, our judiciary. It is absolute insanity for us to have allowed this, because these people are Trojan horses that have been brought into our nation, and to bring them in, we tore down our wall. Our wall was a wall of immigration by Europeans, and we tore down a piece of the wall, and we let the Jews bring their Trojan horse in. Now, in the story of the Trojan horse, the Greeks could not defeat Troy using their frontal tactics. Troy had huge earthen and stonework walls and a huge door that you couldn't pound down no matter what. So Ulysses came up with this idea, let's build a wooden horse, and I and Ajax and some others will climb inside. You leave, go over the horizon and anchor, and they will tear down their walls to bring this horse in. And so they built this wooden horse on the wreckage of their ships that had been wrecked on the shoreline during storms. The Greek soldiers climbed inside, and sure enough, the Trojans came out and decided that this would be a statue of triumph that would help them to recall the war and its hardships, and so they tore down their walls and they brought in the Trojan horse. And that night, you know the story, the Greeks came out, opened the gates. By that time, the Greeks had returned in their ships and quietly surrounded the city of Troy. Once the doors were open and the Trojans, having partied the night before because they had won the war, at least they thought they had, were extremely drunk, unable to fight, and in come the Greeks with their swords drawn, slaughtering everybody in their path. And that's what the Jews have done here in America. We pulled down our walls and we allowed these Trojan horses, these Jews, to come in here, and they have been slaughtering us ever since. They have passed laws concerning abortion that the people here in America didn't want, and their Jewish judiciary courts, including our Supreme Court that has two Jews on it, which are 22.5% of the court when the Jews are only 2% of the country, and both of them voted for abortion. This abortion has allowed white European women to kill their fetuses, to kill their children. 40 million children, as of this date, have been killed by abortion. Abortion was an idea that became popular because of Jews. Margaret Sanger was a racist Jew who wanted to abort black babies because, being a Jew, she considered all people inferior, but especially black people. And she looked at the statistics that black people were the largest number per capita criminals, that they were all over the jails, they were in the insane asylums. They were troubled people. They were people that really hadn't adjusted to European society. And even in Africa, they continued to kill themselves. And she said, well, why don't we just abort them and reduce their numbers down to more manageable means and maybe even get rid of them? And so that's the beginning of Planned Parenthood. So don't ever let a Jew tell you that you're a racist or a genocidist, because it is the Jew that is the racist and the genocidist, and you are the race they want to get rid of. They are your enemy, and they will work forever to kill you out, and you are cooperating by your passive nature, by your acceptance. You'd rather go home after a hard day's work to the house with a loan where 99% of the money paid for the loan is paid for interest to a Jew. and you'll say nothing about it, you have been convinced that that's all right, that it is the due of the Gentile to carry the Jew on his back through interest. And you say, well, don't the Jews do it too? Well, yes, the Jews do it too. They also have to pay interest, but they also get better jobs than you do because the Jews who run the companies hire them first because they are their brothers. And you're their enemy. And anything they can do to destroy you, to replace you with Negroes, with Pakistanis, with Mexicans, with women, anything to dilute the white male who is, in their mind, the most evil thing on this planet, they will do, and they have done. And you have received their prejudice against you. And you have accepted it. It's almost as though you deserve to die because you have participated in it through your passiveness. And through your pandering to people who you know damn well want to do you in, and you know they do. And it's a war, and you refuse to pick up your sword and fight. Solzhenitsyn wrote about this in the Gulag Archipelago. Talked about how these Jews would come into Petrograd at night. Their leader's name was Gingrich Yagoda. He'd bring a couple of vans of Jews in, and they'd go through the town, and they had a list of people they were going to pick up that night, and they'd pick them up, maybe 100 or 200 of them, take them out of town, put a bullet in the back of their head. And these Gentiles did nothing to protect themselves. This was in the Soviet Union, and it was done for the national good, which was the Jewish good, because it was run by the Jews. And no one ever heard of these people again, and over a five-year period, Gingrich Yagoda destroyed and murdered one-fourth of the men of Petrograd and of the women. One-fourth of the population, and these were the elites. These were the engineers, the physicians, people who had been in the military, people with education. He murdered them because, with so few Jews running the Soviet Union, they knew they had to kill the smartest of the people, because they would be the most dangerous and the most likely to rebel and the most likely to have the intelligence to successfully rebel. In which case, after what the Jews did to them, they knew that they would kill all of the Jews, because what the Jews had done was beyond description. It was so horrible. And all of them would have deserved to have been executed for what they did. And they wouldn't be the first tribe to have that happen to them. I mean, there are many, many examples in history of people exterminating an entire tribe that would not leave them alone. So yes, the Jews are in danger in Russia because of what they did and the horrors that all of the majority people had suffered at their hands. And they knew who was doing it to them. They had seen them. They knew their names. They knew their faces. And many of them even bragged that they were Jews, having their way with Gentiles. True to their Talmud, Jews killing Europeans, like they're doing here in America with immigration. And I remember our president, President Clinton, standing up before the Congress at the State of the Union speech and to a standing ovation among white people, saying, and I have a wonderful thing to announce, and that is that by the year 2040, there will be no majority people in the United States. We will all be minorities. And they stood up and applauded for their genocide, for your genocide. Can you imagine white tribal members, Europeans, standing up and applauding that they were being exterminated, that they were being replaced by people with vulgar ideas, vulgar religions that did not suit their religion? And they had been so propagandized by the Jew that they thought this was a wonderful idea. The destruction of their country, the bringing in of thousands and thousands of Trojan horses, of cultures that are totally, totally different. Stirring up hatred where there had been no hatred because these people hadn't been here. You have to have the people in front of you before you can hate them. There was no tremendous hate of Arabs before they came here. There was no tremendous hatred of blacks, except for those who lived with them and found them disgusting. But once they moved up into the northern cities, then the north, which had freed the slaves, saying, oh, aren't they wonderful, suddenly began to hate them. Because they saw their murder, they saw all of the problems that were associated, the welfare, and how every neighborhood they went into fell down to a ghetto status. I am telling you the truth, and you know I am, because you know that I do not lie. And you can check out everything I have said here in the library of Jew Watch, and then you can take the references in Jew Watch and go to the library and check them out and find out that, yes, these are truthful references. These are not lies. These are scholarly facts that I must consider now. And I'm hoping that once you consider them, that you'll decide that you have to do something about this. You cannot sit back and allow your country to become a non-European country, because it will look like Mexico. It will look like Lagos, Nigeria. It will look like Soweto. It will look like Calcutta. It will look like Pakistan. Now, if you like Soweto, I suggest that you get in an airplane and that you go there. You take your family, you buy yourself a hovel there, and hunker down and enjoy the diversity of Soweto. But I suggest that you take something with you so that you don't get your throat slit immediately. If you had a few weapons with you, it might take a little longer for them to kill you. And if you think the people of Soweto will love you, you're sadly mistaken, because they are not white Europeans, and they just spent 50 to 100 years getting the whites to give up that country to them. And now there are many, many blacks murdering and raping whites, and the government seems to be doing very little about it, because of their hatred for people like you who are white, and yet you'll allow someone from Soweto to come to America and live with you. And you will pretend in your mind, which has been mesmerized by the Jewish media, into thinking that you're evil and the people of Soweto are good. Do you remember Mandela's wife? She lives in Soweto. Wonderful woman. He divorced her finally. She slept with every man in town. And she brought youths in and raped them and murdered them, and she was going to be tried by the government, but since it was run by Mandela, it was all kind of brushed under the carpet, but it did receive enough media attention. The interesting thing about South Africa is the Jews who ran the presses there and all over the world wanted the Africans to run South Africa because they don't like Europeans. They wanted to humiliate Europe, so they said, well, you need to let them do that. And the same in Rhodesia. And then when the blacks took over, the situation became so chaotic and so mean and evil for whites and for blacks alike, and so ungovernable, that the Jews got up and left. A lot of them came to America. They can come to America because they're Jewish. But the whites who live there, who've had relatives slaughtered by the blacks and who are terrified for their very existence, have applied for immigration to the United States, and under the draconian Jewish immigration laws of the United States, created by three Jews, Emanuel Seller, Jacob Javits, and later, 20 years later, enhanced by the Jew Frank Lautenberg, all three of them are senators who pushed these laws through. And millions of Jews in the country picked up their phones and dialed their congressman and said, this law is very important to me, and I will vote against you if you don't vote for this law. And so the congressmen, being political panderers, voted for these laws. I'm not sure if they knew it meant the destruction of their race. And I don't know if they really cared. No one's ever asked when they run for office, will you vote pro-European? And will you vote against anti-European legislation? I have never seen anybody run on that platform that I am a pro-European and I will vote pro-European. But they run on just the opposite platform. I am pro-black. I am pro-Jew. I am pro-Israel. As though you, a white person, have no right to any representation in Congress. As though you, as a white man, are just taken for granted. Can you doubt that you are just taken for granted? Have you ever been pandered to by a politician? Or have you been pandered against? You know what the answer is. You've been pandered against. The Jew has control of the mind of your legislator. He will not say one thing about Israel because he knows that it will be touching the third rail of the subway and mean instant political death, and they know that because of the book by Paul Findlay about the enemy within, which he wrote about all of the bribery and corruption of the Jewish lobby of Israel, and how the Congress is their vassal. Well, the Jews spanked him. They showed him. They pulled out all stops. They gave media coverage and money to his opponent and got him kicked out of office. How dare you say something about Jews? How dare you write about them? How dare you tell your constituents what we have done to harm them? How dare you, you Gentile? Don't you know whom you're dealing with? Don't you know that we are superior to you? Don't you know that we have a right to control the entire world? Don't you know your place? Don't you bow your knee to your Zionist masters? It's as though the Jew looks at the white man and says, you know that we control you. And the only way we're going to pretend to get along with you is if you show us by your actions that you agree to our control. Because we as Jews do not like races of people who do not bow their knee to their masters, who do not recognize that they are successfully colonized. And if you continue to fight against us, then we will make things very, very bad for you. It's what every fascist state has ever said, and the Jews are a fascist state. A worldwide fascist state that is pro-Israel, pro-Jewish, anti-Gentile. It is a racist fascist state. A nation that lives in many nations. A fascist nation. People with no remorse for what they do. After all, if you are going to become the master of a people where you are a minority, are you going to tell them about it? Well, how do you not tell them about it? Well, the first thing you do is to put a hearing aid on them and a pair of glasses on them so that they can't see you. And that hearing aid that blocks out all words that might be against you. And those glasses where they can't see you is called television and radio. It's called the newspaper. It's called the motion picture industry. And through these properties which they own, they blind you. They make you deaf and dumb. You're deaf because you can't hear your own people, because they will not put the words of your own people in their papers and on their televisions so that they can communicate with each other. They have blocked your communications. And you're dumb without speech because they will not put what you want to write in the New York Times or the Washington Post. They will not allow you on Fox television. They will keep you out. You have no freedom of speech. You have no rights whatsoever because they have bought up all the rights. They have bought up all the rights to the properties through which you would ever be able to communicate with your own people. That's out of the question. That is not going to happen. You're going to be kept blinded, deaf, and speechless, dumb. And that's what they've done to you. They have incarcerated you in a media sarcophagus, a coffin of media, which surrounds you and from which you cannot escape. It's as though you're already dead and buried. You have been buried by the amplification of the Jewish Zionist voices, of the Jewish Zionist-controlled media. The only voices you've heard are the Jewish voices. The cacophony of hate against you. The devilish, genocidal Jews who are destroying your race and your people and your country and your destiny. In 100 years, there will be no Washington Monument in Washington. It won't even be called Washington. It'll have a Mexican name. Washington's pillar will be reworked, and it will be called a monument to the great horror of European hegemony over the North American continent. And when you go inside, you will find out how terrible you were and how you killed the native Indians here and how you raped them and tore their heads off. They'll have lots of stories about you. They won't necessarily be true. They will be fictionalized. You won't even recognize yourself. You've seen this in the movies. You've seen the armed forces of America going into Indian villages slaughtering children. Mothers holding their children as they're gunned down by thoughtless white people. And that's what you'll see in the Washington Monument. The Jefferson Monument will be probably a memorial to the hatred of white people toward other peoples of the world, like the blacks. And they'll have a huge monument there for Sally Hemings, who the Jews say Jefferson slept with. But now the geneticists are not sure, because it doesn't quite seem to pan out as Jefferson's personal genes that are in these children who have the last name of Jefferson around that area. So they're not sure. If they can prove their lies in a court of law. And some of these Jeffersonians who are black have tried to gain entrance to the Jefferson estate and any status or money that might evolve from that. But the genetics just don't work out to show that they're Thomas Jefferson's children. But the seed of poison has been planted in your ear and in your eyes in the Jewish media as a way of softening you up for the kill. And that's what they're doing. They're softening you up to kill you. They do it the same way they did it in the Soviet Union, through their media, through their Pravdas, their Izvestias that are all over the United States of America. Newspapers that they use to daily infiltrate your mind with self-hatred, self-doubt, and with self-disgust. Because the picture that they have painted for you and printed about you is not very pretty. Nor was it meant to be. It was meant to propagandize you. It was meant to be subversive and to subvert you. And to make you think things and do things that are against your own self-interest and in the interest of the Jew and the Zionist and the terror state of Israel. So that you will continue to bend your knee and work your arm before the Rothschild banks, paying interest rate on your house, your car, your medical bill, buying medical insurance by Jewish-owned companies that further draw the money from your pocket. And when you go to see a physician, he's either going to be a Jew or a Pakistani or an Indian from India, or a Mexican, but he's probably never going to be a white man again, because the Jews own your medical schools. And they're using laws that your people passed on affirmative action to make sure the white Europeans are at the bottom of the rung. So that they will have no future, no hope, and that when they die out, they will be speechless. And their desires and needs will not be even considered. Oh, they might keep a few around 100 years from now as a pet to say, look, isn't that horrible? That person covered with dirt who can't get a job, that's a European. And they'll keep them around in order to look at them and to hate them. And to do to them what they say that we have done to them, when in fact, if we had been hateful, what we'd have done to the Jewish people was to either incarcerate them, deport them, or kill them, which we did neither of. Well, they always point to Germany, and the Nazi regime lasted, 13 years? Started in 1933, was gone by 1945. As though that represents all of European history, when in fact it does not. That is the vision of the Jew concerning the white man. It is an atrocious thing. It is a thing of vileness that we have tolerated far too long. We have the tool, JewWatch.com, that may be the incubus and the seed to change this. But it's up to you to use it. It's up to you to let other people around the internet know that JewWatch is around, to send emails that have JewWatch.com on them. Learn what the Jews are doing to you. Or learn the hidden knowledge that your media does not want you to know. It's up to you to do that, to help your fellow Europeans to find out what's being done to them and to their families and to their lack of a future. Because you have no future. The future is the future that the Jew has planned for you. It is the future of your own genocide. And all you have to do is sit and drink your beer and watch the Negro Basketball Association and the Negro Football League and the African Football Conference and the multicultural Major League Baseball, which probably should have most of its games in the Dominican Republic, where the players come from, and you are being shut out year by year out of more and more jobs and more positions that you deserve to have. How much longer are you going to put up with this? Are you going to wait till your foot's in the grave and it's too late? Are you going to wait till you're nothing but pets, just a few people left covered with dust, unemployable because no one will hire you because you're a European, so that throughout all of time you become a pariah to all other people? You have been listening to The World Today. My name is Frank Weltner, and I am the librarian of JewWatch, and today's message was a message concerning the genocide of the Europeans at the hands of the Jew in Europe and the United States of America. We hope that you have listened to this and that you will respond appropriately. We hope that you will begin to write your congressman about the immigration acts which are destroying your country, destroying your race, and making you into a less than second-class citizen. We hope that you will begin to take control of your nation again from the Jewish hegemony, from the Jewish supremacists, and that you will demand that your congressman represent you instead of the Jewish people, who have nothing but evil in store for you and your country. This is The World Today. Thank you for listening, and have a very nice day.